We don't have the opportunity enough, I think, to visit the Psalms. And so I would invite you to read along with me this morning. If you could turn in your pew Bible to page 528. Page 528. This is the Old Testament lesson for today, the Psalter for today. So page 528, and I want to read verses 1 through 3, and then dropping down to verse 17 through 22. Will you hear this word? O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Then verse 17. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, and let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of the deeds with songs of joy. That first verse again. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. From this word of Scripture, then, this topic for the morning, something to sing about, something to sing about. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, the words of my mouth, meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. This last week, I ran into a friend of mine who I had not seen for some time. He is also a pastor now. We were talking and laughing together, and someone overheard us, and they asked, how did we know, or where did we know each other from? We shared with him something that we didn't tell or don't tell everyone. We were in the same male chorus. And what we don't tell everyone is, neither one of us could sing. We laughed together again and said, since we couldn't sing, we decided to take up preaching. There is something about singing. There is something about a song. Perhaps we cannot keep the notes or the rhythm, but there is something about the words and their meaning. They themselves begin to scribe what is our experience. There are songs of joy and thanksgiving. There are also songs of loneliness and despair. On this fourth Sunday of Lent, and throughout the scripture lessons for this day, there is the theme of new life emerging out of the shadows of uncertainty. In our gospel lesson, Nicodemus is searching and looking for more than he has as a Pharisee, for more than he has as one who knows about the law. Jesus tells him, You must be born again. It is not to be born of flesh, but it is out of water and spirit. Nicodemus wonders how all of these things can be. And then Jesus explains to him that key verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. When we sing, Jesus loves me, some call it a song for children, and that is true. But don't confuse or limit it to a child's age. For Jesus loves me is the song for all the children of God. It is something to sing about. Well, if Nicodemus can be described as a good person, trying to live a good life, trying to obey the law, and even be a teacher of the law, if Nicodemus realizes that there was still something missing in his life, if Nicodemus is on that end of the spectrum, then the people of Israel are on the other end of the spectrum. I say that because they had the Word of God in the form of the commandments. They had the blessings of God in that God would provide for their most basic needs. And God would protect them from any harm or danger. And God would not only protect them, but God would give them the land that is described as the promised land. It was described as a land that flowed with milk and honey. This was meant to be their land, their place where they could live out the covenant. This was the land that God had promised to Abraham, and now it would be fulfilled through them. They were a people who were always meant to sing, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Hear me when I say that they were always meant to sing. This was to be the song of their heart. Instead, they would break the covenant. They would not listen any longer. And perhaps the commandment they would break and violate the most was the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. In so many cases, that false god was themselves. And instead of the promised land, they would find themselves, and that fourth verse describes them as wandering in the wilderness, lost, homeless. The people would find themselves in exile, where their enemies would torture them And then that mournful cry, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And all the people could say was, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It is fair then to ask, what kind of song? What kind of song are we singing? What are the songs of our life? It is said to be a true story that there was a five-year-old child who was in need of surgery, and the doctors and the nurses could not do anything with her. They couldn't do anything to calm and settle her down. But her mother began singing, "It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood," from that children's program, Mr. Rogers. And the child began to settle right down. This was the child's song. Sometimes our song can be negative. You know, it is said that there are two kinds of people in the world: those who wake up and say, "Good morning, Lord." And then those who wake up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Our song can be one of despair. That word, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and it was just another train. Our song can be that of just wanting to give up. For bad news just brings more bad news. It has been said that some people die in alleys, and it was not because they were hungry or homeless, but they just gave up, for they were living without hope. And yes, sometimes our song can be the me song. I just can't have it my way. And we have to be so careful here because so much of the climate around us is based on being self-sufficient. Self-sufficient even to the point that we don't need God. If this is our song, that it's all about me, then we are in trouble. I was reading about Klaus Bonhoeffer. He is the brother of Dietrich. And he wrote this letter the night before he was to be hanged, for he was a part of that attempt to rescue the people. He was a part of that attempt to try and kill Hitler. He wrote this to his children the night before he was to be hanged. He wrote and said, "Believe me, children, life opens itself up, whether in intimate or larger circles, when you think not of yourselves only, but of others. When you share the lot of others." He who is singing sets store by his own voice, or even refuses to hear himself. Everything escapes such a person. What is at stake is not only to be ready to come to another's assistance here and there. But he who is genuinely thankful often gives more. That last sentence, but he who is genuinely thankful often gives more. We want our song. We want our song to represent our relationship with God and a deeper awareness of what it is to be in community, in relationship with God, than a deeper awareness of what it is to be in community with one another. A part of this knowing, a part of this being in community, is that we know that we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven. There are so many things in this life that we encounter, so many things that we experience that would want to hang on, that want to hang on to us. And they form what we call guilt. But that is not who we are. We have been forgiven. And then we have been healed. The psalmist described this healing to the place of just being snatched from death. And then that 19th verse just stayed with me. Lord, help. Lord, help, they cried in trouble. And the Lord saved them from distress. So much of that cry is prayer. So much of that cry is prayer. And something about the song within our life is that we should know the power of prayer in our life. I read recently, someone said, Jesus never taught his disciples to preach, but Jesus taught them to pray. Harry Emerson Fosdick wrote on the meaning of prayer, and he said, our failure to think of prayer as a privilege may be partially due to the fact that we can pray anytime. The door is open so continuously that we fail to avail ourselves of the opportunity which is always there. R.A. Torrey put it this way, prayer is the key that unlocks the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God has is at our disposal through the power of prayer. I believe it is prayer that keeps us singing, that keeps us singing even in the midst of all that is going on around us. Prayer keeps us singing. It is not to ignore the conditions of war and poverty, not to ignore the conditions of racism and sexism. It is not to ignore what we see happening to our seniors today and the whole concern around health care. It is not to ignore what is happening with so many of our young people. So many things leaving them, tempting them, helpless, not able to choose those things that would allow them to be creative, but allow them to live a dynamic and enjoy those early years of life. We're not ignoring these things, but if we stop singing, If we stop singing, then the world and the culture around us will lose hope. We need to keep on singing. We need to keep on singing so that others will have hope. We need to keep on singing, God is good, and good all of the time. A part of this Lenten journey, then, is we have a song to sing. I would ask that as we send out the postcards, as we invite others to come and to be our guest in our church community, that they would always find with us a song on our heart, a song in our soul that says, you are welcomed here. On the postcard, it reads, mission-driven church with heart. Let that be our song. I was with one of my professors and mentors this week, Dr. Vincent Harding. And he was saying that he thought the churches that would grow, he thought the churches that would grow would be those who took seriously the words of Jesus, and they would always be hungry, always be thirsty to grow within their spiritual walk with God. No time for anything else, but to always be hungry, to always be thirsty in our spiritual walk with God. Let this then be our song. We are a people with a song. I mentioned at the outset of my message that my friend and I, we were actually at a meeting where we hadn't seen each other for a while, and we were sitting in the meeting and we were talking and processing the issues, and you know, just sitting there next to him, he started humming. And what I realized was the Spirit was so alive and is so alive within him, he just can't stop humming. There's a song in his life. There ought to be a song within our life. We are a people with a song. God is good. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. God is good. And good all of the time. That's something. That's something. That's something. That's something to sing about. Praise God. Amen.